Good afternoon, Santa Clarita. This is the Action Drug Rehab Hour here on KHTS 98.1 FM and AM 1220. It's good to be here. My guest, my co-host today is going to be Robbie Robinson. A lot of you already know him. He's been on the show many times and all the great stuff he does here in Santa Clarita. He is the intervention specialist with the Santa Clarita Sheriff's Department. That's a pretty heavy title. Intervention Specialist with the Santa Clarita Sheriff's Department. That's almost scary, isn't it?
No, good afternoon, everybody. I'm glad to be here with my partner, Gary, and I have been always enjoying it. It's really good, you know, just to partner up and get things done, to help the community. I want you to know that the Sheriff's Department is doing everything they can from a suppression mode and also from the intervention mode to help people who are dealing with these issues of fentanyl and other drugs. So please support the sheriffs. Please understand that they're doing a wonderful job and a great job, and I will start it from there.
You know, absolutely, because if you think about it, Robbie, I mean, I've been doing this stuff for 40-plus years.
Wow.
And there's no, what other sheriff's department really has an intervention specialist that goes out there and tries to help people clean up their act?
Well, the community of Santa Clarita is very special. I live here also, but also they
are really
invested.
If you want his address, just text me. I'll be glad to give it to you later.
But no, sheriffs
are good.
You're funny. You need to be a comedian. But our captain here is invested in the community, and other people and other deputies who live here are invested in the community. Mm-hmm. So when you have that, and then you have the city that is really trying to do their best to help with whatever situation there is, you're going to get some results. And I tell people, please, again, we will support the sheriffs. When, you know, when they're doing things, they're out here trying to deal with the issues that are out here. And so by me being with you and working with the deputies, we're just trying to deal with these issues that are really trying to take a hold on this community.
You know, let's just talk about that for a moment.
Sure.
The fentanyl, for instance, I was interviewed last night by KFI.
Okay.
Because I guess they're worried about now the web, and that's a lot of where people are buying their drugs off the web. I know that teenagers, almost every teenager that I speak to, get it from Snapchat and
yes.
all that stuff. And
yes, TikTok.
You got to remember, this is from the DEA, that if you have 10 pills, 4 of those pills probably have a lethal amount of fentanyl in them. That's the odds
Correct.
That you're playing with right now. That's
Correct.
Almost half. So it's a deadly game, and it's so sad because for the last 4 or 5 years I've been screaming, this is coming.
Yes.
And it's going to kill more people than anything we've ever seen before when it comes to drugs. It's not your normal. We have different things when it comes to drugs. You have methamphetamine for a minute, then you have cocaine, then you have crack, and then you have ecstasy. But right now, this fentanyl thing, it's a game freaking changer. I was watching last night. This is how crazy it is, okay?
Yes.
I was watching a TV show. What is it, East New York or something like that? That new show? And there was it's a crime drama show. And it's a good one. So I was watching it, and all of a sudden they were in a bar and 4 people start falling down and overdosing. And guess what it was?
Fentanyl.
It was ecstasy laced with fentanyl. But that's where this world is right now, that they have a freaking crime drama TV show, and the headline of the TV show is people overdosing on ecstasy, thinking it's ecstasy, but it's really fentanyl. But that's really what we're dealing with, Robbie.
Oh, yes. Well, let's look at it real briefly. You know, back in the 80s, I was a probation officer in the gang unit. I worked for the Los Angeles County Probation Department, and I did my 35 year.
Turn your head sideways. Oh, no, just that. There he goes.
So I was a gang officer, and I learned a lot. And we know back then it was crack cocaine and marijuana, and then it started to evolve into methamphetamines. And now it is fentanyl. And you said it best some time ago that when you are messing with fentanyl, you are playing Russian roulette. you are definitely playing Russian roulette. And I know some people, I know that there's a thing that they use to bring people back, Narcan and other mm-hmm. things, but you are still playing Russian roulette. And as I tell people when they get over it, well, I'm good, it's no big thing, but your insides are being polluted, your insides are dying or drying up inside from using the drug.
You know why people say it's no big deal? First of all, listen to this. Almost every person I bring into rehab right now that is coming in rehab for opiates.
Yes.
Almost every single one of them has been Narcan a minimum of one time.
Yes.
A minimum, that means they died.
Yes.
Their heart stopped.
Yes.
It stopped beating, and somebody gave them CPR until somebody gave them Narcan and brought them back to life. I was dealing, a couple weeks ago we had a show, and I had Kaya, 19-year-old girl, Narcan three times.
Wow.
I mean, it's just so crazy that it doesn't even make sense to me right now. It's in everything, Robbie. I mean, why? Think about this for a second, okay? I've been doing this for a lot of years. Why in the world would somebody put fentanyl in crystal meth? Now, almost everybody I know that's coming in for crystal meth are saying it's really strange because they're getting crystal meth and they're nodding out.
Yes.
Or they're now strung out on fentanyl. But they didn't buy fentanyl, they bought crystal meth. Now, crystal meth is a speed. It's an amphetamine. It's an upper. Fentanyl is what? It's a downer. It's an opiate.
Yes.
So
oh, yeah.
How about fentanyl in ecstasy? Does that make sense?
No, it doesn't make sense. But what makes sense is I will get high at any possible cost that I can. You know, regardless of what people are saying, regardless of the death toll, regardless, it's not going to happen to me. Mm. And there's this big thing now in everything. What are you going to do to me? What's going to happen to me? We see it with people acting out in the streets. What are you going to do to me? What's going to happen? Right. And we see people using drugs. What's going to happen?
Do you know what's wrong with the Narcan thing? I'll tell you what it is. First of all, it's a great drug. It saves lives, right?
Yes.
I mean, without Narcan right now, think about this for a second. Fentanyl. Over 100,000 people died in the last year, right? By accidental overdoses, mostly caused by fentanyl in some kind of a drug. That doesn't mean that people went out and bought fentanyl. That means somebody went out and bought Percocet or Oxy or Vicodin or Ecstasy or Crystal Meth or Xanax on the web and accidentally died.
Yes.
So that's just a number that we know for sure, about 110, 120, they're saying, right? 1,000. Those are confirmed deaths. What about unconfirmed deaths?
Correct.
So what are we going to do, double the number? I don't know. What about suicide?
Yes.
Because of substance abuse?
Yes.
What about car crashes? How about domestic violence, child molestation, robberies, car crashes, and murders? What do you think the real number for substance abuse in this pandemic is? Then you look at Narcan, right? Saves lives. Here's what's wrong with Narcan. If you take a pill, right, and it has fentanyl in it, and you now, all you know is you got high, all of a sudden you fall to the ground. You can't breathe. You're overdosing. The gases are coming out of your stomach. Your heart's going crazy. Somebody realizes, oh my God, he's dead or he's dying. He's not beating. The heart's not beating. They start giving you CPR. They're giving you mouth to mouth. Somebody comes in and gives you Narcan. And all of a sudden, bang, you snap out of it, right? So guess what you just missed? All the ugliness. You don't see the fact that you overdosed, that you fell down to the ground, that you were throwing up, that the gases were coming out of your body, your heart was stopping, somebody had to do CPR, ambulance came with Narcan, police came and they Narcan'd you back to life. You miss all that. So you don't even know how ugly it really was. That's why we're seeing people that have been Narcan multiple times. They don't understand how bad it was. You died, dude. Oh, really? But they don't see it. But if you take the numbers, Robbie, and you look at, like I just said, the overdoses, all the other stuff combined, it's the largest, I think it's the biggest pandemic we have ever had.
Oh, yes. You know, back during World War One, there was, you know, there was influenza. And we know, as I said earlier, in the 80s, it was crack cocaine, in the 90s, and now it's meth and this. This drug is very devastating. It causes dissensions in the family. It causes people to turn against each other. It causes a lot of things that are sometimes not even talked about. And there are other factors. I said this some time ago when you and I were on. If there are no consequences, I mean, if there's no accountability, there's no responsibility, there's no consequences. So as long as these people are using drugs and they feel, it's not going to happen to me unless they die. Now, we have seen in videos and we have seen people who've used it one time and they're dead. They're dead because...
I know children.
Oh, yes.
That done it. 16-year-old kids.
Yes, yes.
That used it once.
Because there was no Narcan around. And and even if there is Narcan, what
that
happens
brings,
remind me of
what you just said.
Mm-hmm. And even if there is Narcan around, it's such an experience. And when they sit down and talk to their friend, man, I use this, and then I want to try that because I know, well, we got to get Narcan first. But there is the possibility that if you still have it, you still might die. Mm-hmm. So you are putting your life in jeopardy. You know, as you said, it's Russian roulette. It's like spinning a barrel and putting a bullet to your head. That's
hey,
what you're doing.
More like putting two bullets.
Yes, it is.
Then the other thing is... That's what I'm hearing. That's what the DEA says, and what we're seeing right now is what you call mass overdoses.
Yes.
Mass overdoses, meaning more than more than three or more people are dying at the same time. You know why? So let's say we buy whoever's cooking this up or mixing it up. They're not chemists. They're not doctors. These are people that probably right now we know it comes from Mexico. We know it comes from the Mexican mafia. We know where it comes from even. So these are people putting it together. What if they put too much fentanyl in one batch of pills? That means everybody taking that batch of pills could die. So if people are buying these drugs from the same people, if there's three or four people in the room, if they have Narcan or not, if they all take the pills, they all die. So it's a kind of a false sense when it comes to that kind of thing. And we are seeing mass overdoses right now. So it is happening.
Oh, yeah.
But the other thing we're doing wrong, and we just did it, is the message we're giving out there right now is fentanyl's bad. Fentanyl kills. I don't know anyone who doesn't already know fentanyl kills. So what's the right message, Robbie?
Well, the right message is we have to be more, it has to start per se at the top. We have to start dealing with the people who are selling, the people who are online. They should be given stricter penalties. It's not like a slap on the wrist.
I'm going to talk about that, but I'm going somewhere else.
And
you know where I'm going, I'll tell you.
The
message is not fentanyl kills. How about all drugs are bad?
That's correct.
Because it's in all drugs. So if we can convince youngsters when they're young that all drugs are bad, tell me, I want to go back to where you were in a minute, but tell me one drug that's not physically addictive out there today. There isn't one.
There isn't.
There's no drugs that aren't physically addictive. You got the opiates, even if they're real. I mean, that's what kind of started this fentanyl crisis, is doctors stopped writing them because we were in the midst of a crisis and everybody was getting addicted. Right, exactly.
Went to the black market.
That. How about muscle relaxers?
Yes.
Terribly physically addictive.
Yes,
how about
is.
Benzos?
Yes.
Very, not just addictive, but extremely dangerous, withdrawing without medical attention. So today, the message we really need to give young kids, we need to hardwire it in when they're freaking in kindergarten, is all drugs are bad, all drugs are deadly, all drugs contain or can contain something called fentanyl that can kill you. That's the message we need to give.
And you and I know, all of us know, and even the parents and people out here, adults know, they know that it's bad. but people still will try it because in their mind it won't happen to me. I'm not addicted. I just use it recreationally. But that one recreation can have can you can be dead. You can die. You can die on the street. You take it and you're walking and then all of a sudden nobody has Narcan around. There you are, dead in the street. My first experience when I worked with started working with the sheriffs and a guy, they used Narcan. We went to an apartment complex, and the guy was, they used it on him. And I saw him jump up and take off running. They brought him back, and he took off running. And I was like looking. That was my first experience seeing someone that was brought back.
Straight out of the overdose.
Straight out of the overdose. He shook.
He actually had one punch, a fire button.
Yeah, he started shaking a little bit. And he jumped up and looked around and took off out the door.
Wow.
And that was my first experience seeing that. And when I saw that, I was like, wow, I need to know more about what's going on. And then a lot of people tell, well, I can kick the habit. I don't want to go to rehab. I can do it. And let's look at this. One of the famous singers who used to have a song, I don't want to go to rehab, no, Amy Winehouse, I don't want to go to rehab, no, no, no. But look what happened.
She didn't go to rehab.
She didn't go. She didn't get the help that she should have got, and she could have gotten that help.
She's in a grave instead.
Those were the choices. People are making choices. You're getting a thrill right now, but the choice is death. A guy said something years ago. When I was a gang officer, he said, this whole gang thing, the media can't help it, LAPD, the sheriffs can't help it, the whole perspective is destruction. When you use drugs, you will die. You will die. It'll take time, but you will die. And the drug
is patient.
Yeah, yeah. The people are of the opinion, I can kick it, I don't use it. You'll start drinking, you start smoking, then you want something else, and then you get a little hurt or whatever. If you constantly use it, you will die. End of conversation. That's what it's about.
I used to say, you know, get clean, whatever. Now it's get clean or die.
Yeah.
Because I believe, and I really do believe this, that everybody out there using drugs that are buying it on the black market, on the web or whatever, we already know it's Russian roulette. It's not if, it's when.
Yeah.
And you know what? What's even really crazy is a lot of people have what you call Narcan, but they have one or two things of it. I've known people that had been hit three or four times with Narcan before it brought them back. Fentanyl is that powerful.
Yes.
So if you don't have enough Narcan, you could die anyways. And just speaking about Narcan, this goes out to everybody. I know we were pushing for Narcan to go into the schools when we did our press conference.
Right.
And I believe that we accomplished that. It's going into most schools. Now, I want Narcan in every classroom. You know why? We don't have time to wait for first responders. If it's at a nursing station, we don't have that 5 or 10 minutes sometimes. We don't have time to wait for a deputy. And you know what else I want to see, Robbie, before we go on break? This is really sad. I want to see Narcan in every classroom, in every home. If you have a person living with you and they're using drugs, where does most people found dead? In their bedrooms.
Or bathroom.
At where? Home.
That's right.
So I believe that Narcan should be in every household with everybody that's using drugs right now. That's where we're at. That's where we're finding most of, especially the teenagers, in their bedrooms dead.
And it's sad to see a young kid, young, using the drug, and his life is taken away all of a sudden, just like a snap of the fingers. You know, he decided, I'm going to try it because I'm hurting or whatever. And a lot of the parents are unaware of what's really going on, and that's where we have to start looking. You can't just be nice to your kids. You have to be involved with your kids.
When we come back from a break, I want to talk a little bit about that, being involved with your kids. Also, there is no consequences. You've been kept trying to say that.
That's right.
I want to talk about that.
Sure.
Come back from break. So, hey, this is the Action Drug Rehab Hour here on KHTS, and we will be right back with my host, Robbie Robinson.
Thank you. We'll see you in a minute.
Welcome back to the Action Drug Rehab Hour here on KHTS. I'm Kerry Question. I am your host. I do have a co-host today, Robbie Robinson.
Thank you.
I also want to thank everyone that I'm getting a lot of text messages from people that are watching the show. Jeff Morris, my brother-in-law, I appreciate you listening. And hey, if anybody wants to participate, you can always feel free to call us in and jump in on this conversation or ask Robbie what's going on with the Sheriff's Department the Intervention Department over there. And the number here is 298-KHTS, 661-298-KHTS. I think it's 5481. So don't hesitate to call. Before we went on break, we were talking about all the drugs and the fentanyl, and I'm going to do a real quick contract thing. Is nobody wakes up and decides they want to use fentanyl or hard drugs. All drug abuse, Robbie, and I think you can agree with this, starts innocently.
Oh, of course it does.
We start by breaking our contracts. Most contracts are the first thing that's broken are nicotine.
Yeah, people start smoking, and then you get into marijuana, and then you
but
start
I'll never
drinking.
Do anything stronger.
Oh, no, they always say that. And the next thing you know, something happens, or you want to get a bigger thrill. And the next thing you know, and then you're sniffing, you know. Back then it was cocaine. I can remember seeing, growing up, guys using cocaine. When I was growing up back in the 60s, so I'm telling my age, and the 70s, I remember there was heroin. It was a real big thing in the neighborhood where I grew up in Washington, D.C., and I saw guys nodding out and, you know, people snorting cocaine, and I chose not to get involved in that, you know, and I got into other endeavors, boxing and karate, and I chose that. But what we're looking at now, you have good athletes all of a sudden now using the drug because they want to get rid of pain, and or they're at a party and sometimes they don't know what people are giving them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just as we were talking off the air, you know, somebody slipped fentanyl in a guy's drink, and next thing you know, they robbed him, took everything from him. So going to these parties, you don't know the intent of certain people. I was at a function 2 years ago, and we were sitting down, and it was a nice little function, and the guy made the fingers like, do you want to smoke? And I was like, no. I just shook my head. And then the next thing you know, he pulled some things out with pills. I was like, no, and I left. I didn't have to stand around and, well, I don't know, and start talking. I left. I didn't want to become involved in any
Why
of that.
Why don't you flick him your badge?
Yeah, well, I know I wasn't going to do that. But but the bottom line is,
you I heard me say, I put my badge right on the table.
The bottom line is, and when you heard me say earlier in our conversation, no accountability equals no responsibility equals no consequences.
Talk about that. What do you mean?
Well, no responsibility. You know, people nowadays in certain aspects, not everybody, I don't have to be responsible for what I do. I say what I want. I do what I want. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, who are you to question me? I don't have to believe. I don't have to go with authority. I don't have to be law-abiding. I do what I want to do. Then I don't have to be, there's no accountability. So I don't have to be responsible for anybody else. I'm only responsible for me. A hedonistic ideology. And then slowly, then there's no consequences. You act out. You do certain things. You use drugs. Years ago, when you used drugs, when I was working, you went to county jail, and they offered you or put you into some form of a drug program.
Exactly.
That's what they did. People, you cared. But now, you get a slap on the wrist in certain aspects,
Robbie, you're walking
the street again.
I'm going to ask you something. I heard from the captain that they're not even pressing charges, or they're not even taking to court misdemeanors anymore.
That's
right. They're just throwing them out.
Yeah.
So if there's no such thing as consequences, the people, you're right. I've been treating people forever, and a lot of times people come in because they don't want to face the consequence.
That's right.
Now there is no consequence.
There is.
So there's no reason for them to get clean.
Well, you know.
Besides dying.
Yeah. Well, hey, well, you know. There's various variables out here. I mean, law enforcement's doing everything they can to mm-hmm. fight this problem. It's not the cops. It's not the judges. It's just, you know, just the way things are going. Because certain crimes, regardless whether they're felony or misdemeanor, you should go and do some time. Let me tell you this. I know somebody right now that smacked his wife twice. Twice. The first time he did
it. I hope he's in jail.
No, the first time they let him go. This was in Chicago. Let Him Go is a friend of mine. Let Him Go. Let Him smacked his wife. And then, well, he had some mental health issues. And I believe that, but I believe this. This is just my personal opinion. I believe if he had been in jail for like maybe 25 or 30 days, some of that mental health stuff, he would have, you know, he would have thought about it.
He sure might not. But then what happened? That's for sure.
So what happened is he got out of jail and he did it again. Mm-hmm. And he's still out. So what does that tell him? I can do what I want to do. Does he have mental health issues? Possibly, yes. Does he need counseling? Yes. Does he need to have therapy? Yes. Did he need to go and sit in jail for 20, 30 days? Yes. Because then he knows, even with all of those variables, that there are consequences for his actions.
Right. People change when? When they have to.
That when they have to.
And the consequences of what they're doing outweigh the fun or the payoff or the excitement that they're having.
So true.
That's when they change.
A lot of people aren't, you know, Carrie, a lot of people are not, they're not afraid. They, when they get caught, they're not afraid of what they're doing. They're afraid because they got caught. You see? So now, years ago, when you were using drugs, even when I was a juvenile office and I worked juveniles, and they got caught with marijuana, judge put them in there. He'd put them in for 30 days and have them out here cleaning the streets. Mm-hmm. If they kept doing it and kept using, they put them in the program. You went to camp. You received counseling. Or they sent you to a place. There was a place in Nevada. It'll come rites of passage. If you had a drug program, I was connected. And we would send the kids there. They come out. They come out a lot better. But now those things are limited. You know, they say, well, we don't want to lock kids up and all that. I get that. I totally get that, you know, I'm not saying that we need to be lock everybody up, but there are consequences for your actions.
There has to be. You know, there has to be. Because if there isn't, people will never change.
That's right.
The thing is, think it through. If all of a sudden the news came on and they said everybody can go into any store they want today and take anything they want.
Well, they're doing that pretty much now.
But listen, they go in there and take whatever you want without consequences. Guess what? That's really true anyways.
I was in Vegas. I was in Vegas with my wife, and this guy walked in the store. I looked at him, and I kind of knew he was into the mix, meaning that he was a street guy and, you know, whatever. He walked in, took a case of beer, and walked out like it was nothing. And the people were going about their business, doing, just working. And I said to him, aren't you going to? He said, by the time the police get here, it doesn't matter. But there's no consequences anymore. None whatsoever.
You know what bothers me even more than that? Let's touch base on this. The average parent spends between what time and what time speaking to an adolescent today? It's like 2 to 10 minutes a day.
That's right.
The last thing little Tommy does when he goes to sleep, he's 14 years old, just picks up his cell phone, says goodnight to his friend, either on Instagram or Snapchat.
Correct.
In person, right?
Yes.
What's the first thing little Tommy does when he wakes up? Before he uses the restroom, or he brings his phone with him.
Yes.
Says good morning to his friends.
Yeah.
Then he comes out, maybe says hi to mom and dad, and he goes to school. He's with friends for, what, 6-8 hours?
Yes.
Comes home to who? People say nobody. No, to his friends again. Mom and dad comes home. Hey, how was your day? It was good. How was school? It was cool. Do you have any homework? I done it. Are you hungry? I ate. Right back into his room with his friends again. So what I'm saying is children are connected today to their friends a whole lot more than they are to their families. So now peer pressure today is more important than family.
Well, how about this? Everybody in the audience and people know, and you know, some of us, some of you, and I've seen it happen. You go to a restaurant, everybody's on their phone. Everybody's on their phone.
I was just going to say. You know,
everybody's on their phone.
Lance,
so when
right?
I, yeah.
Lance, you know mm-hmm. where we went to eat yesterday?
Yeah.
Right here, this Mexican restaurant. Mm-hmm. A father and a kid walks in. I swear it. They sit down. They both pick up their phone. They pick up the menu they ordered, and they both picked up their phone. They didn't talk. Robbie, they didn't say one word to almost done with their dinner. The kid said it was good. Dad said yes. They picked up their phone. On their way out, they were still
wow.
on their phones. Not a word.
Yeah.
How do you have dinner with your kid and do that?
I make it my business now to leave my phone in the car when my wife and I go out to dinner. I'm making my business now. Sometimes I have my phone in and I hear it, but I wait till it's over. So now what I do is just put my phone in the car. Mm. because I want to spend time with my wife. My wife, and God, and my wife and my family is more important. But right now, as you said, everybody is living off of the phone. So if everybody's living, I can talk on the phone. I can get on Snapchat. I can order drugs on the phone. I can put pictures of myself on the phone. I can do everything off of my phone without really being responsible. And then on the other side of that, people can put things on Facebook and stuff. You don't see their face, but they have an opinion of you. And that can drive some people who are already self-medicating to do other things. So, you know, social media is very strong.
Social media and these things are the biggest addiction out there.
Yes, it is.
Bigger than anything else.
Yes.
We have a society addicted to these things.
And you do need it. Let's be real. I mean, you can do things on your phone now that you couldn't do. You can send up appointments. Just before I came in, I had to set an appointment up, and my wife gave me some instructions to do, and I did it. But when we go, if we go to dinner or whatever, I try to leave my phone definitely in my car, unless I have to keep it, and I know that I'm going to be getting some calls from the sheriffs or something. Right.
Talk to the parents right now.
Well, the thing about the parents, you...
Talk to them directly.
This is what I say for the parents. You know, you have to love your children. There's nothing wrong with that, dad and mom. But you have to be stern with them. You can't start raising your kids when they're 13, 14 years old because they have their perceptions about what they want to do. And I'm not saying that you have to be harsh, but you have to be involved with them from morning to night. Now, they're going to have their friends. They're going to have people they associate with. But here's a saying that I used to say when I used to teach gangs. If you don't get to know his friends, he'll usually hang around those, usually with a negative lifestyle. Don't take them to church or give them any religious training. The gang members or the drug dealers will take them for the funeral. Take them for the funeral. So you have to be involved. You can't be their friend. You love them. I'm not your friend. I'm your mother and I'm your father. So when I'm talking to you, we have to have a conversation. You don't have to agree with me, but you better respect me.
That's not happening, Robbie.
I wouldn't dare talk back to my mother. I can have a disagreement with my mom and say, oh, Ma, you know so-and-so, but I'm not going to talk back and get smart. But, you know, a lot of that comes from a lot of the kids who are using, it's the attitude. What are you going to do to me? What's going to happen? I dealt with a family with the young girl who was involved with a guy who was using drugs. According to the mom, she wasn't using. But I kept coming around and coming around. She got very nervous. Good. I wanted her to be accountable. I was holding her responsible. Slowly but surely, she got the message. And that doesn't always happen, but it happens. But you have to be involved with your kids. You have to know their friends, where they go. So what if they get mad at you if you're calling them? Rather you call them and hear their voice than you call and go somewhere and see them dead on the street from drugs.
Parents aren't even checking. If somebody says, I got Tommy sleeping over today, parents aren't even speaking to the other parents
anymore.
There
you go.
They don't even know who Tommy's mom is.
That's right.
I mean, I had one kid, one parent that I was dealing with in one of my groups, and she says, yeah, I got one of my daughter's friends here because her mom threw her out, and she's only 14 years old. I said, how long has she been there? Over a week. Yeah. I said, you might want to check with the mom because the story might be different.
Yes.
Obviously, the story was very different, and the kid was caught using drugs, and mom was trying to get her some help, and the girl was runaway. Mom thought she was dead. So, I mean, but people aren't even thinking about checking with parents anymore. It's just this whole thing is kind of breaking down.
And you can go in their room. If they're living in your house, I want to give them privacy. No. If you feel that they're using drugs and things aren't going on, you can go into their room. That is your house. You can go in that room and you can search. And even if they put a lock on their phones and all that, you can get it. Rather you do that than you sitting going to court. I'm going to court on two cases. 11-year-old kid already out in the street, already a gangster, and he's already using drugs.
11 years old. I hear it all the time.
I'll be down in juvenile court. And the mother is just inundated and overwhelmed, you know. And then I'm dealing with another kid who was assaulted. I think I may have spoke about it, and I'm going to go to court on that. This guy assaulted another kid. So I'm going to go to court with the deputies, with the sheriffs on that, because he should pay the penalty for assaulting a kid that had special needs. Okay. He should pay the penalty. He should go. He can get counseling and all that. I'm not saying throw away the key, but there has to be consequences.
Without,
you can't just do that.
Without consequence, there's no change.
That's right.
Without fear of consequence,
that's right.
There's no change.
I feared my mother. I feared I feared her. I feared my instructors. So that has to come back. Here you go. And this is my three things that I say. We have lost our respect for God. People don't believe in God anymore. There's no respect for the flag. There's no respect for the country.
Or authority.
Or authority. When you take those four things away, things start happening and you have no control. We're in America. We're Americans. We have to live by, you know, an allegiance, a code. We have to treat people with respect. We can disagree, but we have to treat them with respect.
And allow them to have their own opinions.
That's right.
And thoughts.
That's right.
Everyone's opinion counts to them. You know, I want to change the direction of the show. We only got a little bit longer, but I've been watching the news. I watch about the first 5 or 10 minutes of the news every night.
Yes.
And almost every time I watch it, there's some drunk driver killing people.
Oh, yeah.
We're in the midst of the holidays. What do people do on the holidays, Robbie?
They get lit up.
They drink and they drive. I'm bringing somebody in right now. I don't want to talk about it, but just crashed two of his cars today and got out of the car and fell. What's the message I'm trying to say here is please be aware of what you're doing. If you have a plan to drink any kind of alcohol, if you're at a bar, if you're at a restaurant and you decide to drink, call a freaking Uber or Lyft.
Yes.
Don't get in your car. Robbie, help me with this.
Well, what happens is, you know, people get inebriated, and, you know, the holiday season is out here now. Everybody wants to be cheerful. That's very understandable. If you're going to be, if you drink, I personally don't drink or smoke, but if you're drinking, as Kerry said, you know, you have to have a responsible driver. You know, they used to say that on television. You know, the commercials would say that. But here's even one better. The streets will be empty a lot, and people will be speeding on the streets. If you're using drugs, you could get hit. Or if you're driving under the influence of drugs, you could kill yourself.
Or somebody else.
Or someone else.
Imagine how you'd feel. You go to a bar. You start drinking. Next thing, you wake up in a hospital or a jail cell, and they tell you you just killed a family.
Your whole career is gone. Everything that you've worked for is gone. Everything.
And how do you live with the thought of you killing somebody drunk? Everything's, it all stops just boom, just like that. Everything changes because you decided to put some alcohol into your system and drive a car, or use drugs and drive a car.
My mother said something that was very profound to me years ago. A drunken man's, a sober man's thoughts, I know, a drunken man's thoughts are a sober man's words. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, a lot of people, you know, they will get drunk and they will say things that you didn't think that they would say. They were always thinking about it, but they got drunk. Or, you know, when you get to drinking, you're at a party and you're having a good time and everybody's laughing and talking and all, and all of a sudden you're getting that buzz and you want more and you want more. Then you want to go home. Then everything is foggy. And then there's somebody either walking across the street, and then all of a sudden, there you've hit them, and there your whole life, everything that you've worked for is gone now. Gone. And you can't get it back. Once you take a life using drugs, hitting someone in a car when you're under the influence, you can't take that life back. Please, over the holidays, think about it. Think about it very clearly. If you're going to drink, get somebody to drive you home.
I prefer you don't drink, obviously.
Really?
But if you're going to do that, have a backup, man. Don't have a car with you.
Yes.
Don't go to a restaurant. You all, by the way, know that if you sit down at a restaurant, if you're the kind of person that has a drink and knows that they're probably going to drink another one, don't have a car with you. You already know.
One of my karate instructors told me this, and I want everyone to think about it. A good friend will offer you something to eat before he offers you something to drink. Anybody that offers you alcohol when you first meet him, you can't trust him, and they'll turn on you.
On that note, you know what we're going to do?
What's that?
I think we're going to take a break, huh?
I know, that's right.
This is your Action Drug Rehab Hour on KHTS. We'll be right back. You know what? This is better than a fortune cookie, Robbie. Jeff Morris, my brother-in-law, here's what he just sent me, okay? He says, if you don't do your job parenting, the world around you will do it for you.
That's the truth.
Isn't that good?
Very good.
I'm going to use that line.
You better.
I like it.
That was very profound. And not only that, we used to say, if you don't raise your kids, the county or the state will raise them, and it'll come out a whole different way, you know? And this is what happens is a lot of the parents want to be their friends. You want to be your – my mother was not my friend. My mother was my mom, and I know she loved me. But she was not my friend. When she spoke, I listened. It's like E.F. Hutton. When my mother started speaking, not only that, my mother had signs, and she would clear her throat and do certain things, and I knew what that meant. As I got older, she's not here now, as I got older, now I understand what it is, because we have to have respect.
Yeah.
If there's no respect, then people had they do whatever they want. So when we're talking about drugs, now, let's get real with this, too. A lot of the parents are using drugs.
Yeah.
A lot of the parents are smoking marijuana.
Yep.
A lot of the parents are drinking. And the kids see that. Well, my mom and dad does it, so I can do it. You know, so I say the more that they, when they get around good focus and good people who are really trying to help them, then they can see that those things are wrong. But I've had numerous kids, well, my mom and dad smoke. I had one kid who I was training in boxing, and I was training, and he said, well, you know, I smoke marijuana. I told him, you can't do that if you're going to box, man. It's simple as that. I don't care how good you are. You can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I see other celebrities. That's them. This is you. This is you. You can't do drugs. You can't be drinking. You can't smoke. Let's look at the old boxers. A lot of the boxers back then, a lot of them, their careers went downhill. Some of them stayed in the ring too long, but a lot of them were drinking. Mm-hmm. A lot of them were partying hard, and then they lost everything.
Everything. I know,
everything.
I know quite a few of them, actually, that I won't. I was going to mention some names, but I won't. Here's what I tell parents, Robbie. First of all, do what I say and not what I do doesn't work.
Sure doesn't.
Second of all, be to your child what you want your child to grow up and be.
Excellent.
Be to your child what you want your child to grow up and be. You don't want your kids to use drugs. I believe most of you don't. Then stop using them.
That's right.
If you don't want your kids to drink, then don't come home saying, wow, I need a bottle of wine to calm down and relax. If you don't want your kids to use drugs, don't come home and say, give me a Xanax, honey. I had a rough day.
Yeah.
Pay attention to what we're teaching our children. If you don't want your kids to act out crazy when you're driving down the street and somebody cuts you off, don't scream and cuss and want to pull the guy out of the car. Our kids learn from our behavior.
That's right.
What we do, they see. Do what I say, not what I do, does not work. Be the person you want your kid to grow up to be. Be the hero for your child. Be that person.
And let's talk about, you know, heroism. There are a lot of parents out there who are great heroes. There are a lot of parents who are going to work every day, coming home and, you know, trying to help their kids, trying to be there for their kids, trying to be there for their family, mom and dad. There are a lot of heroes. A mom who is home with the kids, that's a great hero. She's
absolutely.
I get it. She's a great hero. A father that goes out and comes home from work and he spends time with his kid, regardless of what his job, whatever's going on in his job, and he spends it. We have to talk about the good things that are still prevalent, because there are still some good men and there are some still good women out here who are doing what's right, who are trying to raise their children with Christian morals and things. So what happens a lot of times, even these hard-working parents, sometimes their kids get caught up because sometimes we don't know who their friends are, who they're associating with. So I say to you as parents, get to know their friends. Then you'll know what they're thinking and what they're doing.
In other words, be involved in their lives.
Yes, you better.
Huh?
You have to.
Stay involved in your kids' lives. One other thing I want to just go real quickly. So it's the holidays are here. Thanksgiving is coming this week.
Yes.
So here's what I'm hoping. First of all, expectations get us in trouble. If we put expectations on other people on how we want the holidays to go down and how we want, who we want to, and the feelings and all that wonderful stuff, we get let down. So my suggestion is have no expectations. Be grateful for what you already have, not what you wish you had. Be grateful for the people around you that you do love and that love you, not the people you wish did. Reach out to people that you love. Let them know that you're there. And I think your holidays will be such a better deal, don't you?
I agree with everything you're saying.
And by the way, no, seriously, I met you, what, how long ago?
About a year.
And I want you to know that I am seriously grateful for you.
I appreciate that.
You're like my brother from another mother. No,
I appreciate
to
that.
Me.
And let me turn around and look at you.
In general, I think you're a great guy.
Thank you.
I was at the Top 51 lunch and Captain Diaz was there, and we had a good conversation just about you and how much you care and how wonderful you are.
I appreciate that.
I want you to know that Santa Clarita is lucky to have you.
Well,
I mean that.
I appreciate it. I love my community. I love the people that I work with. I have a great sergeant, Diego Andrade, good man. And I love Captain Diaz. We go back, way back when I was working in the street. And I just service above self. That's how it was always. There was a motto that was given to me in karate when I was a fighter. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't curse, I don't gamble, and I don't carouse. And I was like, okay, I was very young when I heard it. And my instructor kept saying it to us over and over and over. And so when I heard him say that, I believe in that motto. You have to live by a code of honor. You have to live by the morals that you are taught. And if I can do that and help others, that's important to me.
And you do a heck of a good job, Santa Clarita. The Sheriff's Department and everyone here in Santa Clarita is lucky to have you. I want to thank you again for coming on our show, and I want to thank the listeners for listening. And please, no expectations. Be safe. Have a great Thanksgiving. Till next week.